Thank you very much, Freddie. Appreciate the good singing, the good prayer, Will. And we're glad to see all of you out this evening for our worship service. It's a joy. We had such a good sermon this morning by our regular preacher. It's such a joy to work with Mike and his family. And I know you appreciate him. And let's continue to encourage them. And you know what? We sure have two good elders, don't we? We appreciate Tommy and Jeff, and we just pray for them constantly. And we're glad you're here tonight. And my wife wants to send you her love and appreciation. Oh, you have just been so kind in so many ways to her. I didn't realize breaking ribs or fracturing ribs could be such an ordeal, but she is still doing pretty well concerning it all. Tonight I want to ask you a question. Is it well with your soul? You know, when you turn to the Word of the Lord, the Bible tells us in Matthew 16, beginning at verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me," boy, that's a good statement, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And notice what he says, "What is a man profited?" Oh, we could just spend all kinds of time upon that statement. "For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world?" Just imagine it. Man got everything he wanted on this old earth. He's still on the earth. He just got what he has, but he's going to leave it. And notice what the Bible says. "What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We sing this song sometimes. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." No wonder the Bible emphasizes how we can sing that song, because if you're a child of the Lord, it is well, and you're faithful to God, it is well with your soul. We have many struggles in this old life, don't we? And as the song suggests, struggles in life are peace like a river, regardless of what life might toss your direction. Can you look in the mirror and say, as you look at yourself, that's something. I don't like to look at myself sometimes. Why? Because I don't like what I see. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Paul, what do you say? Why, every day I'm getting stronger and stronger. Why? Because I'm headed to heaven. I want to go to God. I want to live for God here so I might live with Him forever. "For momentarily light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are all temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul." Boy, I tell you what, folks, you and I have such a great blessing. And that blessing is that if you're in Christ, it's His blood that cleanses us from our sins. Oh, what a wonderful statement found in the Word of God in Hebrews 10:19 through 25, especially verse 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." James tells us in James 1, 2 and 3, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, is it well with your soul?" In Revelation 21, verses 4 through 7, we notice, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these are words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I want that, don't you? Surely, when we look at that mirror, we look at you. You look at yourself and I look at myself. Surely, but the Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our gold. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 52 through 57, notice he said, In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Who we? We who are now God's people. For this perishable must put on the imperishable. This mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written. We want to know what that is. What is it? Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. I like that. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to make it, folks, when we're in Christ. When we're living right, our souls are right with God. Is your soul right with God? The Lord hastes the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, For the Lord, who? The Lord. The Lord himself will descend from where? From heaven. And he'll come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I need an example found in the Bible where a man could look in the mirror and see himself and know that everything is well with his soul. I found one in the Old Testament. I want to share with you for a few moments this evening. It's called a man whose name was Job. In Job chapter 1, 20 through 22, you find the conclusion. After 1, 2, 3, 4 different ones comes to Job and tells him of a calamity that now he's facing. Well, you remember how God had bragged on Job when Satan appeared and God said to him, Have you considered my servant Job? Ah, wouldn't that be something if God could say that about us? Have you considered this individual as one that is powerful, that's living right, that has hope? Ah, he lost his children. He lost all he had. A great man doesn't understand it. Then Job arose, and what did he do? What would Guy McDaniel do? What would you do? If you lost what you had, and you lost your children. Ah, there's two things, and I want you to carry it on with you tonight, that Job did, and I hope that we will do too. Job arose. He rent his mantle. He shaved his head, and he fell down on the ground and worshiped God. I want to ask you something. When things are taken away from us, what do? When we look at the word of the Lord, we find that Job says, Naked came I of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. What do you say? Is there really an example of a man that loses everything he has? Loses all 10 of his children? where they can say, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Two things that we need to learn about Job. It's in the next verse. Look at it. What did Job do? In all of this, Job sinned not. Number one, he didn't sin. What would we do? Number two, he did not charge God foolishly. What? You mean there's a man that lives on the earth? A man that has everything that you possibly want? A good family? All kinds of money? One of the greatest? Yet a man that loved the Lord, that hated evil, that loved good? That this man, when it's all taken away, he can look in the mirror. He can see himself. And you know what he sees? He doesn't understand it. But he sees his faith in God. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Have you ever done that? Something happens, and you blame God? Wait, don't ever blame God. Friend, you and I need to remember, oh, here's a man that can tell you it can be done, who does not sin, and who does not charge God foolishly. Four things in the lesson yours. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, so be in the Lord. Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. If you were at Thomas Reitinger's funeral, I use these four points. What is it now when you die in the Lord? You're fine. You can answer that question now. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with mine? Oh yes, Lord, because we're in you. Are you in the Lord tonight? Number two. The Bible tells us in Psalms 116, verse 15, God looks upon the death of one who is a child of His. One who is taken away from us suddenly or has to linger and suffer. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. When we die in the Lord, being a child of God, we have what God calls as precious. Precious in God's sight and in the eyes of God. The Christian is very precious unto God. Isn't that something? Number two, when we die, we do have that glorious hope. Number three, when we turn to the Word of God, we find a wonderful promise that God's made to those who can look into that mirror and they can see themselves as they really are. And they say to themselves, yes, I'm an honest person. I try to be. Whenever you do something wrong, what do? You correct it, don't you? Why, when I turn to 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Told you the story one time of a man up in Tennessee. No reflection on Tennesseans. But this man up in Tennessee, boy, he got busy. He was very profitable in his business. And he was faithful to the Lord for a while. Then he couldn't go on Wednesday night. He couldn't go on Sunday night. Finally, he couldn't go there on Sunday morning. 40 years of age. That'll touch some of you. 40 years of age. He had built him a house upon a hill there in that beautiful Tennessee. One day, he had a heart attack. And just like that, he was gone. The one who knew something about the circumstances was riding with another one. And the other one, they saw that, said, isn't that the most beautiful house? And he made the statement, Wonder how much a house like that would cost? The other one said, I know. And he said, how much was it? And he answered, it cost him his soul. He had given up faithfulness to God for that which is just mundane, temporal things. I want a mansion, don't you? And I know once man had promised to you and he promised to me, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Number three. Yes, a child of God can look at himself. Job could do what he did because of his undying faith in God. What a thrill it is to be where Jesus is. And that's where your mansion will be. Number four, knowing that it's well with your soul because your spirit returns to God who gave it. Just in the next hour, some of us may recognize or realize that. Can you imagine? Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into a certain city, buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. Which one knows? None of us. Are you going to be here tomorrow? I don't know. Do you know tonight where you'll be tomorrow? Because you can look in the mirror and you can say honestly and sincerely, Lord, I'm yours. I'm trying hard. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, the spirit returns to God who gave it, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. No exception to that rule. Is it well with your soul? What about your spirit? When it's returned, where will God put your spirit? If you're not a Christian tonight, won't you become one right now, obeying the gospel? Won't you be baptized for the remission of your sins right now? And if you're not ready to meet the Lord, won't you right now ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you? And answer the question, as you look at yourself, as I look at myself, Lord, is it well with my soul? You can answer that. God could tell you. Why not tonight, if you're subject in a way to the gospel invitation, won't you come while together we stand?